for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Thomas.
And I'm Natalie.
Today on the show, former MP Stephen Williams will be on to talk about life in politics as well as what happens after.
And it's drag a topic that can raise a debate. Ivan will be reporting from Poutfest.
Plus the latest national and international LGBT news headlines and a look at some of the upcoming events. All coming today, right here on Shout Out. Sorry, did that make you jump?
It did.
I got the wrong one, didn't I? I just saw Natalie have a heart attack then. There we go, that one.
Yeah, the ambulance is on its way.
Oh, it helps if I get the right one. Look, I'm not having a right good night here, am I?
Should we just sing it, Andy? We just sing
the jingles. Oh, come on. I've got so many clippings of you recording.
It's the Muppet Show tonight.
Yeah, but are you calling me a Muppet?
No, this music always makes me think of the Muppet Show for some reason.
It's that guy under the table with his hand that gives it away.
It's just a puppet.
It was a Muppet, there's a difference.
Oh yeah.
It's a piece of cloth.
Yes.
So anyway, how are we all, other than listening to me make things sound really stupid and wrong?
I'm really relaxed.
You're really relaxed? Yeah. I was really relaxed until I got it all.
No,
wrong.
Andy, no one will know. You just take it out. When it goes out live, it'll all be gone. You can edit it.
Yeah.
We are live.
No, don't tell me that. I guess pretend.
So, hello, listeners on our lovely home station, BCFM 93.2.
And Pirate Nation, the sound of free radio.
You love doing that bit, don't you?
Bradley Stoke.
Bradley Stoke Radio.
And GFM.
And Bass Radio. Yeah, there you go. So, hello to all of you. Some are live, some are repeats. We've got a new website coming soon that tells you all about them all and when it's on and all that kind of stuff.
Ooh.
So, that should be quite cool when it launches.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's taking flipping long enough to make.
That's true, you are taking a long time.
Well, you see...
Anyone think you had a job to do elsewhere?
I have a job and I have BCFM site to do and all sorts of others, so it does take a little while. So
I don't know, I used to work in engineering management. I've heard all these excuses before from the project engineers.
Smallest violin time.
Yeah, I like the fact that the two, not just you two, hardly anyone's helping do it, and you're moaning at me because it's late.
I can't do code.
You don't need to do code.
Oh, don't we?
Okay. No.
I thought you did.
No, I've done that bit.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
So what do you need help with?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll talk about it off air.
Yeah, just ask, we'll find you to help.
Anyway, long story short, we got a new website coming soon. It's all spanky and swanky and works on mobiles and stuff like that, which should be really cool. So.
Doesn't the existing one work on mobiles?
Well, it
seems
does,
to be on my mobile.
It does, but it does that looks really small thing because it was made before mobiles were.
Because it's on a small screen.
If you know the technical term, it's called responsive, the new one.
Okay. That'd be PHP?
No, that'd be HTML, never mind.
Oh, the old one. So the new one is PHP, is that what the new term's called?
Yeah, we're not having this conversation.
No, we're not having this conversation.
Our 35,000 listeners have just fallen asleep.
Yeah. It's a website, it works.
Yeah,
you can get podcasts. And God, I pulled down the stats, good God. There's like thousands of people downloading our podcast every week, which is fantastic.
Good.
So, I quite like it.
I
haven't got iPhone, I've got Android, but mine does it automatically too. It's quite cool, it just kind of appears.
Well, what I will say, Andy, is it shows that time that you spend after the show editing the podcast and uploading
it is appreciated. Yeah, bless you all.
So thanks everyone for appreciating Andy's hard work each week.
Yes, whoop whoop.
Thank you. Oh, you're really sweet. Anyway, can I quiz you for something else now?
Go on then.
Because this is when this jingle is supposed to happen, you see. Now, I would say it's our new feature called Out Shout, but it's not really so new anymore, is it? We've been
not
calling it Out Shout for a while now.
Yes, we have.
So, but it's our pick of the best events in the next kind of like week or two, isn't it? So,
yeah.
And you got a corker for us this week.
I have. At last, the Danish Girl's being released. Now, if you leave tomorrow morning, you can watch it before anyone else. It's on in Venice.
Oh.
Otherwise, okay. You've got to wait till the end of November in Europe. Okay. Oh.
Have so you booked us the flight?
I'm on my way straight from here. I'm going down.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the...
it's a film, isn't it?
It is. It's being screened at the 72nd Venice International Film Festival.
You say out at last. Has it been rumoured about coming around for a while then?
It has. It's way back in, 2010 that they were first mooting it.
Oh, gosh. Right.
Yeah. But they had Charlize Theron and Gwyneth Paltrow as the leads. And Gwyneth Paltrow was going to play the transgender character, Lily Elb.
Right.
Which the story is about. So it's a true story. And Lily Elb was supposedly the first transgender woman to actually have sex reassignment surgery.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
And
wasn't that here in Bristol?
Well, sorry?
I thought that was here in Bristol.
What?
The first ever trans...
No. It's Copenhagen.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay. Mm. I thought it was here in Bristol. I know there was a very, very...
It's
one
it's
of the first
very
ones
a lot.
Here, anyway.
Well, the thing is, if you look it up, it says is supposedly. So I guess there's loads of people trying to claim that there was the first. So, but
there
this one is
be.
Supposedly. Yeah. It's taken from a novel of the same name, written by David Ebershoff.
Can you give us a bit of a synopsis?
Well, I can, but let me just... It's taken
without ruining
from,
the story, obviously.
Well, there's another book, which is more factual, by Niels Hoyer, which was written in 1933, which, although doesn't mention Lily Elb, is actually about her, and that's called Man into Woman, The First Sex Change. And that's obviously common parlance, sex change, rather than sex reassignment surgery or gender reassignment surgery.
Yeah, I'm not very good at keeping up with all these things.
Oh, affirmation.
About affirmation.
It's like, I don't like the word queer, but apparently that's all back in fashion now.
It
as
is,
well.
Yeah. And I can never keep up with all the latest terminology. I always get slapped down.
So we just say we're really sorry if we offended you. We didn't mean to. Yeah. You know.
Well,
we do our best.
Yeah. Well, I'm transgender, so I'm offending myself.
But yeah, the story is. I mean, give us a start because I watched the kind of the preview on YouTube before we came on air, and it's really moving. When you watch it, isn't it?
I tear up every time I'm watching. It's very, very much in parallel with my own life.
It starts off with the two of them kind of, you know, just playing around.
It's set in 1920s Copenhagen, and Gerda, who's played by Alicia Vikander, is illustrator artist. They actually get married while they're at college, so they're quite young. And it stars Eddie Redmayne. I can remember when he played
he was in
Stephen
the theory
Hawking.
Of everything, yeah.
And he got so many awards. Now, the trailer shows that his acting
is just
on
brilliant.
Top form
yeah.
again. Now, I'm glad that they actually picked Alicia Vikander because her acting in this is superb. It really is. They play together really well. As I said, it's set in Copenhagen in the 1920s. They met up and actually married quite young. Lily Elb was only 19 at the time, and I think she was 21, and she's bisexual. He's transgender.
But he doesn't, at the beginning, when you first watch it, he doesn't actually
movie,
and they kind of like...
Yeah, but that's the movie, and I'm not sure whether that's for dramatic effects.
But
think
it's
it
the movie
be...
you're plugging.
Yes. Well, it's for dramatic... I am plugging, but I can have a viewpoint. Shut up.
or alternatively, you can ignore the movie and buy the book.
Yeah, true.
That's very true. That in fact, true. You have time to buy the book... And
read
then,
it. And read
and
it on
then
the flight
get to Venice and then watch it, and then you can catch it again in the rest of Europe and this country at the end of November.
But in the movie, anyway, the first time he tries cross-dressing
he does,
is just
well,
kind of a bit
paint,
of a joke,
they're both,
isn't it?
They're both artists at university, and she does lots of painting. She starts to use him as a model because one of her models didn't turn up, and he starts to like this. They actually move around Europe and they settle in Paris finally because Paris in the 20s was, like Bristol is now, most people didn't care.
Yeah.
So he could go out as Lily and no one took any notice, then she could carry on her lesbian side affair without any questioning. So Paris sounds as though it was freer in the 20s than it is now.
Well like that, Moulin Rouge and
I think your fan of French are very still like C'est la vie.
Well, that's nice to know. Now Lily Albers, 28th December 1882 she was born, and as I say, she was born in Denmark, and she was supposedly, there are people that claim otherwise, that she was the first one to have operation. Funnily enough, the operation was in four parts. Nowadays, of course, it's all done in a one-er for over about 4 hours. But she had to go through four operations. Testicles came off first. Your eyes are watering, Andy.
Well, this is not really a subject that I know that much about, so I'm just here and listening, considering I'm broadcasting with two trans people at the moment who probably know a little bit more about it than me.
Funny thing, yeah,
oh, they're not important, Andy.
No.
You're not planning on children, are you?
They fitted ovaries, which is in the second op. Yeah, which is very odd. And the final one, yes, I find that quite odd. Because obviously not going to work. And the neo-vagina came as the last op. Don't ask me, I'm not a surgeon,
Natalie.
Actually,
no, they wouldn't work.
I presume you don't see this in the film.
I don't know.
No.
I haven't seen the film. I'm off to Venice tonight to make sure I do see it on Saturday.
Oh, good. You'll have to report back then.
I will.
Yeah. So, well, it's worth checking out on YouTube. In fact, I'll tell you what, we'll try and put a link to it on the website.
The link is already there, Andy. I've already done it.
Oh, okay.
So it's already on our website.
So you do get help sometimes.
Yes. It's all on there. Full information about the film, where it is in Venice.
Check out our
trailer. Yeah, and if you are transgendered and been through it, then it's going to be a bit tearful for you.
Bless. I love it when you're so sweet when you do things like that. Bless. Cool. All right. Thank you, Steph.
Hey, this is Rick Kopp from Where the Bears Are, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
I don't know, that one really needs introducing, doesn't it? That's Rick Astley.
Yeah.
I didn't pick that one, Steph picked that one. In fact, Steph's picked all the music this week.
In fact, you know, years ago when that was in the chart, I had a friend who thought it was Dick Aspirin.
You are funny.
It's just one of those silly things that sticks in your head. I always think Aspirin.
It always reminds me of Family Guy, because of course they've done it in Family Guy as well, haven't they? So anyway, I'm changing the subject. It's probably a song you know quite well, isn't it, that one? Is it one of your favourites?
No, it's not, actually. No. Sorry.
So we are very pleased to say that we're joined by a former MP. It sounds a bit horrible to say that, really, but it is true. Stephen Williams, who we've had him before. Very welcome back to Shout Out.
Thank you.
So now, give us a start, because of course every time I've always spoke to you before, it's always been a bit more of an official thing, because of course you've always been an MP, which of course you aren't now. Before we talk about what happens now, take me back to how you got into politics in the first place. How many years ago, for example, are we going back?
Well, it's quite a long time. I mean, I was an MP for 10 years, but prior to that, I'd been a councillor and an activist. I first stood for election in Bristol in 1992, so that's now 23 years ago. So what I'm going through at the moment of frenetic activity suddenly ending and having to make up things to do to fill my time every day is quite a shock, because it wasn't just a decade of being a Member of Parliament. It was a long time before that being an activist as well. So, you know, 23 years of candidacy and knocking on doors, whatever, in Bristol, coming to an end is quite weird.
Is it something that you kind of had an inkling about when you were a kid then, was it?
Yes. I was interested when I was in school. I mean, the first politician I ever met was actually a local councillor. When I was 10, we were evicted from our house. We lived in rooms in a terrace house in a mining village, as it was at the time, Abercynon in South Wales, just north of Cardiff. And we were evicted by the landlord, and the local councillor came round to the house to help us get rehoused by the local council. And that was her name was Williams, but she wasn't related, but Anne Williams. She was the first politician I ever met, and that sort of It's a weird way to start my interest, but that did start my interest in what's a councillor, what's an MP, and that sort of thing.
Okay,
and it really started from that.
So you didn't go off to study it at university?
No,
all seem to know?
No, I think one of the ways that Parliament has gone wrong, so I don't know what it's like, the current cohort of MPs, but certainly for the 10 years I was there, there were far too many people who'd done PP or the equivalent at Oxford and Cambridge, all knew each other, went to the same schools.
PP, what's PP?
Politics, philosophy and economics.
Oh, right, okay.
It's the sort of thing that I think Ed Miliband had done it, for instance, and probably his brother as well, but a whole lot of other people as well. And there weren't many people who had done either degrees in other subjects or no degree at all, or had worked in the real world before they became an MP. And I think, you know, Parliament needs people from all different backgrounds.
So how did you end up then getting into it when you become an adult? And because obviously, I mean, you're 10 years in it, but how did you actually end up becoming an MP in the first place?
Well, I arrived in Bristol from that South Wales village. It'll be 30 years ago next month, actually, in October 1995. Well, my politicians can't really hide their age because it's all sort of public record. Yeah, everyone can check. I was born, give it away, on the 11th of October 1966. So I'm coming up to 49. I've got one birthday left before that horrible event next year. So it'll be 30 years since I arrived in Bristol this year as a student at Bristol University, and I was already involved and interested in politics anyway, so I just got involved with a local party in Bristol, and for a very long time, I was the youngest sort of major activist who went out doing mad things like knocking on doors and talking to people, which a lot of people find quite frightening, but I'd done it from a very early age.
But did you actually think you'd end up doing it for the next 10 years at that point?
Well, I wanted to. I did have the ambition of wanting to do it, but becoming a Member of Parliament is not like any other career. Now, you might want to become a shopkeeper or a racing car driver or whatever you might have some aptitude or desire to do, but to become an MP, you have to do that significant thing of winning an election.
Yeah.
So it's not. So I've seen many elections where the best candidate didn't win. If you judge people objectively, the best candidate didn't win, but a candidate always gets the most votes. So you can't plan to become an MP. Certainly not in Liberal Democrats, anyway, because we didn't have any safe seats to give out to people.
So you just kind of literally then, when you do win an election and you end up becoming MP, you just get thrust into it, and suddenly there's all this stuff that you got to contend with. I've always imagined it would be quite a steep learning curve to go from not being an MP one day to suddenly being an MP the next.
Yes, I suppose it is a sort of snakes and ladders at either end to that extent. At the moment, I'm going through the shock of
the other way,
massive
activity,
and suddenly the axe comes down, and you're not an MP anymore. You don't have access to Parliament anymore. The email is killed, the internet access is killed, the pass is cancelled for security reasons and all that sort of thing. Whereas 10 years ago in May 2005, the reverse happened. I suddenly became the MP in the early hours of the morning, and you immediately start, you get the email address, and immediately people are emailing you about their issues and problems. And you have to start taking phone calls. And at that time, my home phone number was the public phone number.
Oh, wow.
People ringing me at home about the immigration problems.
I've always wondered about the experience of it, because you see it on telly where they sort of got the television in the parliamentary chamber and they're all sort of stood there and just sort of, I don't know, it seems like they're just bickering at each other at times.
Well, that's the image people have, and it's what people always ask about the chamber, why people so badly behaved and et cetera, et cetera. And most of the time, it was never really like that. Most debates are quite sedate, thoughtful affairs. It's Prime Minister's Question Time, because that's the thing that is shown constantly on the news. And it's popular all over the world, PMQs. That's when there's a lot of shouting, and people think that's representative of the rest of the week. It isn't. It's a half an hour of madness that I always thought was pointless and could easily be scrapped. I mean, it doesn't hold that David Cameron is not a better or worse prime minister for that half hour. I think he could be made once a month or something. But it gives the wrong image of Parliament. But people think the politicians are lots of noisy boys shouting at each other, and they're not.
But some of that's history, though, isn't it? It dates back to, you know, the almost like when Parliament started.
Well, it is. I mean, when I first got there, and
it's like saying eyes to the right and eyes to the left. Yeah. It was
like arriving at some posh public school or something where a lot of people knew each other and behaved in a certain odd way that the rest of the population doesn't behave. Yeah, so some of it is tradition, but yeah. Traditions can become out of date.
Well,
seriously,
true.
Out of date, and some of the behaviour in Parliament had become out of date. And, things were changing, but I think something still needed.
It is odd because I've seen you around in Bristol a lot and the like, and I always forget that you also have to travel all the way to London. I mean, how often do you have to do that when you're an MP?
Well, Parliament sits for about 33 weeks a year, something like that. It's more or less the same as the school timetable, fairly identical to the school timetable these days. And I lived in London Monday to Thursday. My normal pattern was to go to London Monday morning and come back Thursday night. Sometimes I went on a Sunday, sometimes I came back on a Friday, but generally it was.
That must make it very. If you then just got Thursday and Friday here, it must make it very difficult for doing things that are Bristol centric. Then,
yeah, but all MPs are different. I mean, because as I've already said, I'd lived in Bristol, well, at that stage for 20 years, and now for 30 years. Bristol was my home, so I was coming home, but I knew all of the issues inside out because I've been involved for a long time. So, you know, I enjoyed that side of it. Most MPs, though, don't represent the place that they live or grew up. It's just their seat in Parliament, so they visit it, and sometimes it's not every week. You know, it might be every fortnight or if it's a safe seat.
That seems very strange. Yeah. I just thought that you'd be here more and visiting Parliament.
Everyone does it differently. And I think members of Parliament who have safe seats will tend to live in London permanently and visit the seats. Maybe on the Friday, and then go home, back to London to Fulham or whatever.
So of course you were an MP when equal marriage came around, and civil partnerships before that and the like. Yes. Is that one of the things you're most proud of?
I've started to make some notes. I mean, I kept a diary for the whole time I was an MP, most of the time, but I've just started sort of writing up a notebook of sort of significant things that happened while I was there and things that I was involved in. That's definitely one of the things that it will stand out personally for me.
And weren't you one of the first openly gay MPs as well?
Yeah, I was the first for the Liberal Democrats in 2005. I wasn't the first overall. But in 2005, there were, I can't remember the exact number, but there were very few openly gay MPs. In 2010, there were quite a lot elected, and this year, I understand, in 2005,
a lot left because they were either outed by the press or something. I do remember watching it and thinking, why is he leaving? Because he's gay. It's not. Yeah. But back in those days, of course, it kind of happened, didn't it? So
yes, obviously things have been on a journey. But equal marriage is definitely one of the things that stands out. And I led on the bill for the Liberal Democrats in all of its House of Commons stages. So I was involved quite heavily in that. And it was one of the occasions where there were lots of demonstrations outside Parliament. Often demonstrations outside Parliament are against things that Parliament are doing, and then you're a bit wary about speaking to people, or you avoid them. And on those on those days, that the first House of Commons and then the House of Lords was considering it, you know, I was going out and talking to all the people outside about what was going on inside, and yeah, it was a fantastic day.
It must be one of those that'll be a very good memory for because I mean it doesn't mean probably as much to everyone as it does when you're LGB or T, but of course it's a huge thing as far as we're concerned. So
yeah, I mean, so it's made it equality, isn't it? It's the fact that I can love a man and get married to him in front of my friends and family and legally in front of the whole community.
Yeah.
Just like opposite sex couples can. And it was that parity of esteem that mattered, I think, more.
Because of fortune, as I'm finding out at the moment.
When you say about people sort of waiting outside, obviously there is a press as well, I imagine, wanting to ask you all the difficult questions. And
well, there wasn't so much press interest in the equal marriage debates.
Were there ever times where they
been a problem over the years? But not.
I was going to say, were there any?
That.
Were there any times when they did get a bit too much for the press? Were they ever too hounding? Or
Not really. I mean, before I was the MP, because as well as being the Liberal Democrats' first openly gay member of Parliament, to be elected while my sexuality was known, it was known before that. Mm. And in the 2001 general election, which I didn't win in Bristol West, it was talked about a lot. And I was quite often written up in the local papers as the gay candidate for Bristol West. If the BBC or other people were interviewing me at the time, they always mentioned it. You know, even if the interview was meant to be about the health service or education. And at that election, I got I got a lot of hate mail and abuse. But 4 years later, in 2005, when I was elected, it wasn't so much of an issue. Oh. So
what happens now?
I don't know. I mean, it's a sudden event. Because I was, to be honest, physically and mentally exhausted by the time you come to an election, you're going on adrenaline by the end of it. The upside of losing and not having to live that lifestyle anymore is that I've been in Bristol most of the time, other than 1 week in Spain and sometime with my mother in South Wales. Been at home consistently for 7 days in a row, something I've never had for a long time.
10 years, yeah.
Be able to sit in the garden, trim the ivy, and
so
is it just to
watch this space at the moment?
I mean, people keep saying to me, what are you doing now? And I said, well, what I'm doing now is just recovering. Mm. And then at some point, I'll have to find something else to do. I mean, I'm not rich, so
you're not planning on going back.
The practical side of it, I do need a job.
You're not planning on
listening out there.
We wouldn't be tempted to go back then.
Well, I may well be tempted to go back, but going back can't happen for nearly 5 years.
Well,
the next election's in 2020.
Yeah.
I mean, there are possibly other elections like the European Parliament or something in 2019 that I might be interested. But at the moment, it's too early for all of that, and I just need to recover personally, and then find another job.
It's always the Mayor of Bristol.
Well, I'll let everyone keep saying that, that's likely to happen.
Sounds very much still like a watch this space then. Listen, it's been wonderful, because I know we've had you on before in a more formal capacity as well, and talking about different things, but it's also lovely just to have you on and have a chat and the like. And it does seem like you seem a lot less stressed than I think you did last time.
Well, one of the things I've been doing, I've been trying to go swimming 3 days a week in Horfield Sports Centre. So you're supposed to say, I know this is radio rather than TV, but how much better I look, because I've lost a lot of weight.
Well,
I'm a lot trimmer.
Well, you will notice earlier when you basically said about it 30 years and that, you completely shocked Andy because you look so much younger.
I like that.
So, well, listen, it's been wonderful to catch up with you, and best of luck with
you.
Whatever you choose to do in the future. And I'm sure we will have you on again, if not, we'll see you at something like Pride, I'm sure. So,
yep.
From all of us, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, now stay with us. News is coming up next. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out podcast.
We're gonna see them out.
Nikki French, you might remember she was on at Pride. Last big one, I think, she had was Total Eclipse. No, she had one since Total Eclipse of the Heart, hasn't she? But that's the one she's most famous for.
It is,
This is her new one. This is called This Love. It's not out yet, actually.
Okay.
Do we have a release date?
No, I don't, actually. I'll have to ask Steph. Steph picked all the music tonight, so... I'll ask her later on in the show.
We'll get Steph to put it on a website.
Yeah. So... Yeah, it's a bit Euro, I think.
I like it, and I love that sort of stuff. Yeah,
yeah. I'm sad I like it too.
Yeah, no, I have to admit I do. A bit of cheese for you. So we've got some really nice songs in the show today, actually. I'm not so sure about the Rick Astley one. A bit old hat, that one, wasn't it? But
yeah,
cool.
We should give up on Rick Astley.
So anyway, John and Matthew are in for the news headlines, so let's catch up with what's going on in the world.
This is Shout Out News. This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 3rd of September 2015.
Wayne Bezan, gay journalist and founder of the campaigning network Truth Wins Out in the United States, has blasted the Kentucky-based marriage clerk who is refusing to marry same-sex couples. Kim Davis claims that she is enforcing God's law, but Wayne laid into her on Chicago's progressive talk station WCPT. He described her as a charlatan shyster and added that Davis and her backers are an affront to actual principled Christianity.
Meanwhile, Progressive Christianity, an international multi-denomination network for Christian congregations who welcome diversity, has said that vandalism of Episcopal churches in the US for welcoming gay and trans people is part of the same reaction that has led to hate attacks by racists in African American churches in the south of the country. Tom Erich for the network Hatemongers Only said, "Hatemongers only succeed when they make people afraid. If people are determined to stay calm, united, and self-confident, the hate initiative will fizzle."
One of London's leading sexual health clinics accidentally sent an email out which revealed the electronic addresses of some 700 of its clients. The 56 Dean Street practice in Soho is renowned for its work with the gay and trans communities in the heart of LGBT London. At the weekend, a routine email bulletin was sent out, but rather than blind copy each recipient, the mail was sent with each recipient's email address visible. The clinic has apologised for the incident, which has gained many column inches in the press over the past few days.
The new edition of Australian gay magazine DNA is available now. In it features a critique of the hit series RuPaul's Drag Race, season 5 of which has just started showing on the UK channel True TV on Mondays. The contestants' warfare and squabbling is felt by some to represent the gay community in a bad light. Also inside is a look at Russell T Davies' drama series Cucumber, which aired on Channel 4 earlier this year. The magazine is available from WH Smith's and other larger news agents across the Shoutout region.
A rally for tolerance is to be held in Jerusalem tonight, 1 month on from the murder of a 16-year-old girl at the city's Pride Parade. 16-year-old Shira Banky was killed and 5 others were wounded after an ultra-Orthodox Jewish man went on a stabbing rampage during Jerusalem's Pride Parade. Shira Banky died on the 2nd of August after days battling for her life following the attack. LGBTQ Community Centre, the Jerusalem Open House, is staging the protest this evening outside City Hall in central Jerusalem. The Mayor of Jerusalem, Nir Bahad, is among the speakers set to attend and speak out against the brutal attacks, alongside cultural figures and religious leaders from across the Jewish, Muslim and Christian faiths.
Coming soon to the Shoutout website will be a timeline on the development of LGBT broadcasting in the United Kingdom, up to and including the milestones for this programme over the last 5 years. So with this in mind, we extend our greetings to Manchester-based gay and trans radio station, Gaydio, which this week joins the DAB multiplex transmitters in Cambridge, Birmingham and Glasgow. The media newswire Radio Today says that as of this weekend, when transmitters come online, Gaydio will reach some 20 million potential listeners across the country. And our very own BCFM will soon be also broadcasting on DAB.
Sue Perkins has thanked fans for their well wishes after she opened up about her brain tumour. The Great British Bake Off presenter had revealed that she won't be able to have her own biological children in the future as a result of the diagnosis, but took to Twitter to reassure her followers that she's all fine. Perkins' tumour is benign and non-symptomatic, and in a typically self-effacing remark, Sue added, "Let's focus on those less fortunate in the world." The lesbian TV presenter and comic is known for her friendly nature and concern for others, and her approach has been seen her rise to major prominence on the popular BBC One TV Bake Off series.
For these news stories and more, check out the website at shoutoutradio.org.uk.
For Shoutout News, this has been Matthew Tosh
and John Dior.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Hi, I'm Morgan James, and you're listening to Shoutout.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout podcast.
Marvin Gaye. And that's by Charlie Puth.
An explanation of what "Let's Marvin Gaye" means.
Steph, I don't know. Anyway, that is the Cahill radio edit, which is the Handbags and High Heels tune of the week, I believe.
Yes.
So a really cool mix of that one, isn't it?
It's a lot dancier than the basic one.
Yeah, there's a few decent club mixes coming out of this song. It's quite cool, I like it a lot.
I just still want the explanation.
Well, you know, it's from a sample from another song.
Yeah.
So,
But you know,
that was sung by Marvin Gaye.
But I've looked up in the Oxford English Dictionary, and Marvin Gaye is not a verb.
I don't know. Anyway, drag is a topic that can often raise debate, and it certainly did when Ivan visited the Cube for Poutfest. He was down there to see a documentary on a movie called Dressed as a Girl.
10 years in the East End!
Well, I'm here at the beginning of Poutfest for a screening at the Cube Microplex of Dressed as a Girl. It's been a fantastic night, but the evening kicked off with a performance from the alternative drag artist Discharge, and she's here with me now. Good evening.
Good evening.
Now, there was also, once you finished your performance, a Q&A session before we saw the movie.
Yes.
And there was quite a few different topics covered, but would you like to pick one of those topics? Because it was on the subject of drag and where it fits in today, I guess, and what it means.
I think one of the main things that I was really touching on and really wanting to talk about, because it continues to be at the forefront of contemporary drag, is the problem with misogyny and misogynistic performance within drag queen culture specifically. As drag culture has become more and more commercially viable and a larger commodity, and has been seen in a larger mainstream context, certain aspects of drag culture have become more prevalent, and not necessarily for the best reasons. Basically, there is one specific terminology that is, I find, to be a very sort of, it's kind of the catalyst of it. It's certainly a very pervasive image that is used in drag culture, and that is the term fish. Now, fish, some drag queens will have you, what some people will say is it's about winging the eyes out to the side of the face and making the lips more pouty, a la a cartoon goldfish. What it really comes from, and what we all know they're really saying, is they're talking about a very antiquated and aggressive and mean-spirited way of talking about women's bodies.
So you would like to see an end to that?
I would absolutely like to see an end to that.
Because although it happens less and less frequently these days, it still happens, doesn't it?
I would not necessarily say, considering the treatment of so many women in my life, that it happens less and less. I would actually say it's just as prevalent as it ever was.
Right.
I think the extremes of misogyny exist very prevalently within our culture. It's easy to say, oh, it's not so bad, but it really is. A perfect example, a friend of mine was actually grabbed on the street by someone who cycled past her, literally just grabbed her boob.
Goodness me, right.
And it, you know, it boggles the mind, and that's symptomatic of a wider problem that we have within our culture, talking about women and the way we treat them.
Well, we're going to be exploring these topics with you very soon on Shout Out,
yes,
because you're going to be coming into the studio and talking to us. But in the meantime, thank you so much for talking to me this evening at this, fantastic screening evening that we've had.
Thank you, I've had a great time.
Look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you. You can catch me next on the Bristol Burlesque Festival, September 3rd, 4th, 5th and 6th, starting at the Queen's Shilling, then Smoke and Mirrors, then Rip Roar Comedy Club.
Fantastic. Well, I'm going off to search for a few people and find out what they thought about the movie tonight. You watched the movie tonight, did you?
I did. I absolutely loved it.
What drew you to it?
I have an emotional connection there. I know a few of the girls in it, so it was just lovely to see them on the big screen, yeah, showing some support and some love.
Bits and big ups and downs, right?
Yeah, it was beautiful. Very raw, very honest, and very real. I laughed and I cried. It was perfect.
It was one of those movies, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Would you recommend other people
absolutely,
to go see
100%,
it?
Absolutely,
yeah. 100%. Fantastic. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hi there. Can you tell me what you thought of the movie this evening?
I thought it was interesting, but for me it was kind of a lot of white men talking about themselves. And I don't know, I think that drag's a lot more political than that, personally.
I thought it was interesting. I guess there was moments where I felt like, oh, I wish I had been there when that happened, or when those things were happening, and thought it would have been amazing to be there, and I wasn't, so...
Fantastic, yeah, so yeah. A little bit of a history lesson there.
Yeah, as well, that's all there, that's really interesting too, yeah.
It was amazing, it's brilliant, yeah, really good, really good.
What did you like about it?
Well, I know some of the guys in there, so I might be slightly biased or whatever, but it was really very honest, and it's really great the way you saw everyone develop throughout the film, all the different stories of the lead characters. Very emotional, very beautiful, very well shot, very well filmed, great story. It's brilliant, really well done.
What struck me about it, because I'm a performer myself, was people talking about aging and how it's a young person's game, really. So I was having that inner dialogue with myself.
So it made you think?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I thought it was incredibly interesting, very moving, very sad, ultimately. Like, it was really lovely to see such a celebration of people breaking out of stereotypes and really trying to challenge them and doing that in a public way in such a magnificent, bright, colourful way. But it would have been nice to see more of the effect that it had.
So I'm talking to the producer, Chris Amos, from Dressed as a Girl. Chris, welcome to Shout Out.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us, what is the movie about? We've just watched through it. This is for, how many times have you seen it now?
Oh, I've lost count. But I still laugh at all the good bits, and I still get teary-eyed at all the sad bits. The director, Colin Rothbart's been filming the lives of six alternative drag artists from the East London scene. That footage we've got now is about 250 hours. So we've dwindled that down to 94 minutes of storylines where each of the people that you meet from the scene, they all go through some sort of adversity, they've got some sort of insecurities to conquer, whatnot. It's kind of a story about the anti-heroes sort of conquering the odds and triumphing in the end. And
some of the lines that come out were absolutely cringeworthy, in a good way.
Okay, yes, it's got some really classic lines, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Wish you the best of luck. And Adelbert tells me you're off to see Banksy's Dismal Land.
Yes, tomorrow morning, yeah. Got to get up early and line up early for that one with my umbrella, I guess.
Thanks for talking to Shout Out, Chris. I'm going to wish you a very dismal time later in the week.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, this is Nikki French, and you're listening to Shout Out!
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast. On the
ocean. Fight Club. Again, that's a remix version. That's a Dave Ould, is that how you say it? Remix.
Not certain
it's number
about
one.
That one.
Number one at the moment, actually, fight song.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it was number one last week as well. We played the normal one last week, I think, but I stole
normal.
I stole all of Steph's remixes this week. Did you notice?
I'm sorry, I prefer the original.
Yeah, I like the Marvin Gaye one though. I like the dance version of that. This one here.
Yeah.
That was that's Cahill remix, that one.
Yeah, but it's really funky, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a lot. It's,
I had to chop the ends. The ends were a bit boring. You know, it's one of those that goes on for minutes of just dump.
Right.
Get on with it.
Oh, no, that's not the one you stuck in.
Do you Marvin Gaye?
I went and bought the radio edit of the one you gave me.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I hadn't got chopped beginning and end. Still. So, happy birthday, Terry.
Oh, hooray! Thank you. Happy birthday to... No. I
was just going to let you carry on
with the backing music.
I was going to say, I was enjoying you singing.
Well, we wait till we get in the green room, because my singing is, I could be arrested.
It's not only that, but I've also got to check out the copyright on that, because there are issues with that particular song.
Thank you for saving me from Ofcom.
Yeah.
Not
from Ofcom, from the people that PRS,
own the PR,
yeah, they'd want a lot of money from you.
Thank you, Natalie, for saving my life.
Right.
Well,
I'm lost now.
Owe you.
Owe you.
Yeah,
owe you.
Where does your head go, Andy, when we say thee? Yeah.
No, Andy, it was
keep up, my love.
It was in the news earlier this year about that song and copyright issues. And
Okay. Yeah. I think you might have had to have actually have seen that in the news to have understood what you meant. Yeah. I didn't have a clue. It was you. YOLO.
But yeah, so it is Terry's birthday. Yeah,
happy birthday, mate.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
You're spending 21. And you're spending it here.
Yes. Well, I thought I'd share it with all of you and all our fantastic listeners.
And cookies.
I bought
biscuits. I haven't had one yet.
No, oh, there should be one.
Oh, one there? Oh, okay. Well, I won't be
having
one.
There's a couple.
No way, Andy. If there's only one left, you can have it, because I've really got to lose some weight.
No, I'm not. I don't think we're going to make a comment on that now.
No.
We're not going to be drawn.
No. No.
You don't look fat from here.
That's because
microphone's in the way.
That's because you haven't got your glasses on.
But they're very sharpening.
They're very thin microphones.
Sorry, couldn't resist. I'm in one of those moves.
She is close. Give me a whack.
No. He's being cruel to be kind.
If you're off to Venice, you ought to take Terry for his birthday.
Yeah,
that's very true. Yeah. Yes. You'll have to go with me luggage, though, Terry. I only got one ticket.
I'll sort of like fold myself up nice and small.
Yeah.
Can I just say hi to all the guys at Base Radio, one of the stations we go out on in South Bristol, the South Bristol Community Station. They're doing a whole street party on, or they're doing the music for a street party in Southfield, I think.
We follow DJ Dave.
Daddy, that's it.
It's on a Friday.
Tomorrow, don't we?
Yeah, it's on a Friday. Yeah. So, hello if you're listening on Base Radio. So, anyway, that is it for this week. As we keep hinting, there is lots coming between now and Christmas, and there's only one place to keep on top of it all.
And that'll be our website, shoutoutradio.org.uk, where you can find all the latest news, events, and of course, the wonderful, hard worked on podcasts.
next week, a familiar voice is going to be returning shout outs to talk all about a Dartmoor killing. Does that sound ominous? That might want to tune in. Yeah, so. Anyway, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.